Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 60, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, oh, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 60. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Genesis, the 15th chapter, the first 6 verses. Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Dustin Grisnick, who came home from the hospital, Joshua Busicum, who was involved in an automobile accident in this past week, and Chad Outshorn, who has to go into the hospital once again. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, but also long-suffering God of the heavens and of the earth, who sparest us, each and every one of us, to this very moment, to bring us together into thy house of prayer. And Lord, then it has been in the life of a young man in the midst of us that he has come so close to the gates of death, but thou hast spared his life, and thou hast even brought him with us together in thy house in this day. And Lord, he has been spared, and we have been spared. And the calling that has come to him, and that calling that comes also to us, it comes also in a special way to the young people in this, our little congregation. Lord, thou dost speak through these ways. When it could have been so different, that it could have been with a mourning family, that we had gathered around an open grave. Lord, it has pleased thee to do it so differently. It has pleased thee to spare life. It has pleased thee to bring to thy house again. It has pleased thee to give another Sabbath day, another time when thy word will go forth, when thou wilt give it unto us, another time that our natural ears may be given to hear. Another opportunity to be converted, to repent, to turn from our evil and carnal ways. Oh, that these opportunities may never testify against each and every one of us. Oh, we may acknowledge thee for thy sparing hand. But Lord, may thou also give that new life both unto that young man and unto each and every one of us, because we travel to an eternity that will never end. And in one moment, then we can be standing before thee, our judge. Oh, that thou may give to us a little impression in this morning hour. Oh, that the callings that come to us day by day and week by week may not just pass us by, but that we may be given, O Lord, to stop a moment, that we may be given to consider, that we may be given to see what our way is. And if we are still traveling upon that broad way that leadeth to destruction, enjoying all that the world has to offer, with an expectation, with a desire, with an affection that is drawn out after all that is here below, oh, could it please thee in this day to stop us, and that thou may turn us about,
that thou mayest say to us out of thy holy word, thus far and no further. Oh, that thou mayest speak with that still small voice, and that thou mayest bring us through that straight gate and upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life eternal. Lord, we are so undeserving of this great miracle, but give us to feel it in our heart, and give us in true and deep humility to beseech thee at thy throne of grace, that thou may do for us what our natural heart does not desire, and that thou may instruct and teach us, that thou may lead us in the way everlasting, and that thy dear Son may become necessary and precious in our eyes, when we may behold our sin and our guilt, our corruption, from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot. Oh, that thou would reveal unto us him whom thou hast sent into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, Lord, lost we are. Lost because of our deep fall in Adam, dead in sins and in trespasses. But thou who hast come to seek out lost ones, oh, could it please thee to use thy word in this day to seek out such ones in the midst of us, and give that thy people also and may be given a place to cry to thee, that we together may be brought before thee in deep humility. Lord, wilt thou remember thy church? Thou art their king. Thou art their priest. Thou art their prophet. Oh, they need thee in all thy offices, because they are wayward, because they are guilty, because they are ignorant. Oh, then they need to be kept. They need a sacrifice. They need to be taught and instructed from above. Oh, that thou may show thyself also unto them in this day. And wilt thou give them that which they stand in need of, in whatever condition of life that they may be in. And the little children, the young men, or the fathers in grace, whom thou knowest each one in their condition and circumstance here below, in the warfare that they must fight, Lord, wilt thou look on them and strengthen them therein, and that they may be given with thy servant Abram to believe in thee, that it may be counted unto them for righteousness. Wilt thou then look upon us, each one, in all the circumstances also of this life? Wilt thou be with the child that has been brought home again from the hospital, when last week on thy Sabbath day he was brought up, and when there were so many fears and concerns, and thou hast brought him home again and made all things thus far well, though the doctors do not know. Lord, thou art good. Oh, that thou may give in the heart of these parents an acknowledgement of thee, and that is above all the doctors, all the physicians, and all the medications. Oh, that they may find a place at thy footstool, and wilt thou remember the child further, Be with the child that must enter into the hospital again, in the continuing need for his body. Oh, that thou may further heal him. And may thou bless the efforts that are used for his body. Strengthen the parents and the family together. And Lord, instruct us each and every one. There are also those in our midst that do mourn the loss of a relative. Lord, wilt thou be with each and every one of them also in all of the circumstances that they are in. Oh, supply for all those who are near and dear to him. And may thou give comfort where a man is not able. Look upon all those that are in need, widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that have difficulties, needs, troubles, crosses, concerns in this life. We remember husbands and wives. Oh, that thou may give love from above in their hearts for one another, that may deny self, that may look upon to thee in all the needs and the cares of each day. And may thou give that in our families, children may be obedient to parents and may love one another, and that it may be a blessed place in the family unit here in this world, in this short time that thou givest unto us, before that we depart to appear before our Maker. Lord, remember our young people. Give them also a heart to love thee, to serve thee, to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. But also in that in this morning hour, when thy word will go forth, that they may be given ears to hear also and hearts to understand. Oh, be with us in the busyness of our life. Wilt thou cause us to meditate continually upon thy word amidst all the labors of our hands, that all the cares and the concerns that are here below may not smother thy word, but that it may in the cares and concerns be used as a support and as a and to teach us what we are before thee, that men in also the providential ways may learn to seek thy face, and that so also in a spiritual way he may need thee. Wilt thou look upon all thy servants over the length and the breadth of this world. Lord, help them in the bringing of thy word this day. When thou dost shut, Lord, no man can open. But when thou wilt open, no man can shut. Oh, that it may be our experience also in this morning hour, that it may be for the sake of this congregation, that we may open our mouth, that we may bring thy word, that there may be fruit here in the midst of young and old together. Forgive and take away all that is sinful, without and within, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 389, the first three stanzas. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment, do not cause thy servant to be tried. Before thy holy laws, no man is justified. The last collection today is for Treasured Meditations, Psalter 389, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour you can find in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, Genesis 15, thereof the sixth verse. Genesis 15, verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So far the words of our text. Righteousness imputed unto Abram by faith. First, what this righteousness is. Second, how this righteousness is imputed. Righteousness imputed unto Abram by faith. First, what righteousness this is. And second, how this righteousness is imputed. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. There are, congregation, some texts in the Holy Scriptures that in just a very few words are revealing to us the whole way of salvation. And this is one of such texts, and that is just in the middle of this history of God's servant Abram. It is a text that is not so easily understood on a very superficial reading of it. Perhaps it even seems that these words are out of place, because we read here, children, what you can even understand how that Abram is desiring a child, and how that Abram is laying this need, this desire before the Lord. And then suddenly we read this text. Suddenly we read about righteousness. And then maybe you say, how is it that these two things, they go together? There is nothing out of place in the Holy Word of God. On the contrary, actually, we have here in this text a key to the meaning of the verses that go before. Actually, we have a key here to what is the desire that is laying within the heart even of God's servant Abram. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Thus it seems like Abram is here complaining. He is childless. Then he says, Lord, what art thou going to give me? When was it that Abram is making such a complaint? Well, we have last week considered the first verse. And then we heard how that the Lord came to Abram. And then he said, fear not, Abram. Why? He says, I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward, I myself. And then immediately, then we hear Abram, he comes with his complaint. He says, but Lord, what wilt thou give me? How is that? Is Abram then not satisfied with that which the Lord said he would give to him? That he would be to him a shield in this world, that he would give to him an eternal inheritance, that he would be to him a God, and that he should be his very son, his very child? Or is it that Abram, he is still looking after something in this world? Lord, wilt thou now also give to me a child in this world that I may also have the joy of being a parent? And is it that Abram looks all about him and sees all of the riches that the Lord has given him in this life? And then he says, to whom am I going to leave all the goods, all the riches, all this
as an inheritance in this world? Must my whole estate now go to this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir.
No, congregation, this is not what is lying in that heart of Abram. It is true that it sounds so, but everything that seems to be is not necessarily the way that it truly is. Oh, how quickly do we judge one another when they do speak words, and then it sounds and it seems to be with them, and then we make a judgment, but we do not know yet what is lying within their heart. And that is going to come out here from Abram. And how do we know that this is not what is lying in the heart of Abram? Well, we know it by what follows. We know it actually by the words of our text. And he counted it to him for righteousness. Thus, Abram, he is looking. Abram is longing for something so much higher than all that is in this world. Abram is looking, he is longing even for more than the legitimate joys of parenthood. Are there those that are not married? Are there those who are not able to have a family, who are not able to have children? May the Lord give to you also what lay here in this heart of Abram. A desire for what he desired. A need in your heart for what he needed. What was that? That was righteousness. And he counted it to him for righteousness. What does that mean? To be righteous. To be righteous, congregation, that means to be right with the law. That means that we answer our purpose, the purpose of our creation, the purpose of our existence, the purpose of our being here in this world, that purpose for which the lawgiver himself has created us. Righteousness. Are you right with the law? Or are you, young people, not right with the law? Are there things for which the police officers have your name written that they are searching for you? Are we right with the law? But are we right in a special way with the law of the land, not only, but with the law of God? There is nothing so important in our whole life as that we would be right with the law. Why is that? We are all so busy. We are all so busy with our labors as we go through this life every day. But when we were not right with the law of the land, then it could be that any moment that an officer comes to our door and we are hailed before a judge and we are cast into prison and all of our labors will cease in one moment. Thus, how necessary and how important that we are right with that law, the law of the land. The congregation, when we are not right with that law of God, And when we are then hailed before our heavenly judge, and when we have to stand there before our judge, and we are found guilty before him, then all our labors and even our life itself in this world will in one moment come to an end. Thus, what is now more important than that we should be found right with that law of God? What is now more important than this word righteousness? How is it now with our own soul before God? And he counted it to him for righteousness. What does that mean? That means that Abram had no righteousness of his own. That means that when Abram would die of himself, that he was not able to stand before God. If it were not so, then a righteousness did not need to be accounted or imputed here unto Abram. When he had his own righteousness, then he did not need some other righteousness. But Abram had no righteousness of his own. How is that now with us? You say, young people, children, that is for my mother and for my father to think about. But now we have seen and we have heard that it is not so. Because in one moment, also when we are young, in one moment we can be called to stand before that judgment seat of God. Thus it is not only your father and your mother that need to be right with that law of God, but it is also you. It is even in the days of our youth when we are very, very young. Because when we are not right with his law, and when we have to stand in one moment before him, then it will be that we are cast into that prison of death and condemnation forever and forever. And when that tree falls to the north or to the south, in that place where that tree falls, there it shall be. And it will never rise again to go into another place. And he counted it unto him for righteousness. You say, what does all this have now to do with the request of Abram? Abram has asked here that the Lord would give him a child. Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Say, Abram, he is asking the Lord this question. What has this anything to do with righteousness? There was a reason that Abram desired a child. That was not merely for the enjoyment, for the joys of being an earthly parent, although that is not a wrong thing in itself. But there was something that was so very special that Abram is looking for in this seed. And what was that? That was the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord concerning that Messiah that was to come. And the Lord had come to Abram, and the Lord had spoken to Abram, and he had
given to Abram a promise also concerning himself, that he says, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. They shall receive a blessing, all the nations of the world. How is that possible? And that cursed race, that cursed human race, because of the rebellion against God, how is that possible that that cursed human race could ever receive a blessing from the Lord? And the Lord said that he will do this through Abram himself. Well, that can only be through the fulfillment of that which was revealed unto his father Adam, that he was going to put enmity between him and the woman. That is, the devil and the woman. That is, the prince of darkness and the woman. And between thy seed and her seed. Thus, it would be in the fulfillment of that promise unto our first parents, that the Lord was going to send a Messiah, that the Lord was going to send a Redeemer, that the Lord was going to send a Savior. And in that first appearance of the Lord unto Abram, then the Lord reaffirmed this unto Abram. And he said that it was going to be through his seed that he will give this Messiah in this world. Thus, here is the hope of Abram. Here is the expectation of Abram. For what? For righteousness. For righteousness before God. And that curse would be taken away. Abram cannot do without the Lord. Oh, do we understand why then that Abram, he now says, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Oh, how mysterious are the ways of the Lord. The Lord comforts Abram. He says, Abram, fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. But Abram, he cannot see how this can be, that the Lord would give himself as his exceeding great reward. But how then shall that justice of God be satisfied? Abram has no mediator. Abram has no surety for his own soul. Oh, yes. He has a promise of such a surety. He has a promise of such a mediator. But he cannot see how this can be fulfilled either. Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Thou hast given me no seed. Oh, how the Lord will do this is all such a great mystery unto Abram. Is that also such a mystery in your life, people of the Lord? We go to our second thought, how this righteousness is imputed. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. The future, that is for God, certain. The future that is for God, so sure. The future that is to him
even as the past is unto us. Just as if it was already done, already accomplished. There is with him nothing that is too hard. There is with him no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And the church of God knows something of what that certainty is. But it is but by fleeting moments in the exercise of faith in this world. The Lord has already said unto Abram that he will make of him a great nation. Then the Lord has spoken to Abram again, and he said that he will make his seed to be just like the dust of the earth. Thus two times already. But congregation, when that way is so long, and the impossibilities, they are just increasing in that life of Abram, then we understand why his question, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And what does the Lord do? The Lord brings him outside of his tent, whether that was truly physically or whether that was just in this vision, that really makes no difference. But he brings him physically or in vision, he brings him outside and he brings him to behold the stars of the heavens. Did you ever do that, boys and girls? Go out in the night and you look at all the stars. And the longer that you look, the more stars continue to appear, then they are numberless. And now the Lord gives this as a sign unto Abram, that when it is dark, then he may have this light, and that he may go outside and he may look up unto the heavens, wherein the Lord himself, the creator of the heavens and of the earth, does dwell. And he may look up at the stars, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Thy seed. What is that? The seed of Abraham. You know that it will be in a natural way a great nation from Ishmael, from Isaac, from Jacob, from Esau. But we know that it will be from that line of Isaac and from Jacob, that nation of Israel set aside by the Lord is to come into this world, and then also that the Messiah shall be born of them. And yet Paul says that they are not all Israel that are of Israel, neither because they are the children of Abraham are they all the children of God? No, it is in whom? It is Isaac, he says, that thy seed shall be called in. Thus, the seed here of Abram that the Lord is speaking of, who is that? Then we must not see it only in a natural way as the natural seed of Abraham, but we must see it as the spiritual seed of Abraham and as the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Thus, Christ and his church, that is the church of all ages. Thus, what does the Lord say to Abram?
when he brings him outside and he tells him to look up into the heavens at the stars. He says, Abram, you have no child. But Abram, I am going to have a church. And you cannot see how. But Abram, it is so sure, it is so certain. Look now up unto the heavens and behold those stars. And the fact that they exist, so sure is it that my church that will also exist. And the fact that they are numberless, so sure also shall my church be without number. And now when the Lord comes, people of the Lord, then we know that the Lord brings everything along with him. Then he brings ears to hear. He gives the eyes to see, and he gives faith in the heart to believe. And so we read it here also of Abram. And he believed in the Lord. Is that not a great wonder? When it may be so, when a person may believe in the Lord, to believe, that is such a great blessing. Why? Because it is by faith that the church is receiving all of her benefits out of the hand of the Lord. And to believe, that word that here, that means actually to be supported. That means that it is, as it were, a foundation, as a pillar underneath God's servant. That means, as it were, to be upheld or to be carried. And so is the experience of that true church when faith may be in exercise to carry them through what? To carry them through all the mountains of impossibilities. Also those impossibilities that were standing before Abram. And he believed in the Lord. And when the Lord is carrying through, when the Lord is upholding, and then all the mountains in the life of that people, they become in one moment a plain. And he believed in the Lord. Not just in what the Lord said. No, but it says he believed in the Lord himself. Thus, he believed in him who cannot lie. He believed in him who is so faithful and true. He believed in him who says it and who does it. He believed in him who commands and it stands firm. Oh, he believed so that he may say, hath he not said it, then shall he not do it? Hath he not spoken, and shall he not make it good? So that when that faith is in a little exercise, even those little ones in grace, they may be brought into the communion of those who are in the highest standings of that life of faith. Or even more, they are brought into the communion of God himself, and also he with them, who is giving to them every benefit through that faith. And then something of that certainty that is in God, who knows the end from the beginning, for whom the future that is the same as for us what is past, then some of that same certainty that is in God, that is given also by faith unto the people of the Lord.
Let us sing. Psalter 57. The earth and the fullness with which it is stored, and the world and its dwellers belong to the Lord. For he on the seas its foundations has made, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed. And firm on the waters its pillars has stayed. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 57. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. What does it mean? He counted it to him. That speaks about what we call imputation. The Lord imputed it to him. It means that it was not actually his, that it did not come actually from himself, but that the Lord wrote it on his account, just as if it was his. Thus, it became his, not because that he has done it, but because it is given, it is imputed, it is written on his account. All for this reason, we say that this text that is declaring already here in the beginning of the Holy Scriptures, that whole way of salvation for the church of God, because if there was no imputation, then it would be impossible for one person to be saved. Thus, already in the first book of the Bible, the Lord is laying out the great comfort that is for that true church of God. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. What was it? What did he count to him for righteousness? Well, we read the faith of Abram. Is it then the fact? The fact that Abram believed, that the Lord now counted that Abram would be right with the law? Is that so? No, that is impossible. Why is that impossible? Because faith, though faith is a gift of God, faith remains still an act of man. The Lord Jesus says that continually, that he attributes faith unto man. He speaks not of his faith, but he speaks of thy faith. Thus faith, though it is a gift of God, that remains yet an act of man. Thus, if it were that act of believing, then it would be actually a work of man which would be counted for the righteousness of man. That is impossible. Why is that impossible? Paul, he uses this very text in Romans 4. He uses this very text to prove exactly the opposite. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Thus, when Paul says his faith is counted for righteousness, then it is evident that he does not speak about the act of faith in itself. How is that evident? It is evident because Paul would be arguing against himself. What does he speak of? Paul speaks about the object of that faith. What it is that that faith may lay hold upon, and that is attributed unto that people. It is that faith that is that hand to receive from God his righteousness. And therefore, it is that which faith is receiving, which is being attributed unto man by faith. What is that object of faith? We read, he believed in the Lord. And therefore, he believed the word of the Lord. Therefore, he believed the promise of the Lord. And what did that promise concern? That promise concerned his seed that was to come, that promise that concerned that Messiah, that surety. Being fully persuaded, Paul says, that he was able to perform what he had spoken. And therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. That means he may receive the substance of that which that faith may receive from the Lord. Righteousness. That is to be right with God. What does Paul say? Not to him that worketh, but to him that believeth on him that justifieth the what? Do you know, boys and girls? The what? He justifieth the ungodly. The ungodly. Who are they? The ungodly are the ones who are not right with the law, are they? But now he justifies the ungodly, and he makes them to be right with God. And this is now that need of Abram. This is why Abram cannot let the Lord go except that he will bless him. Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? That was a man who had no righteousness of his own, and that he was looking for the righteousness that was in another that was to come. And this he may receive already by a true and a living faith, when the Lord imputed it unto him, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness, congregation. Righteousness that affects every one of us. Why? Because every one of us has to stand before God. Where is now our trouble? Where is now our concern about righteousness? If Abram had no righteousness of his own, then what do we have? Is there one of us that is more faithful than Abram? Is there one of us that can say, when we have heard of that separate life that Abram lived, is there one of us that can say that we live such a separate life? When we have heard of the glory that he desired for God, and the denial of the riches of this world, in order that God may be glorified, then who of us can say that we have such righteousness? Who of us can say that we live such a close life unto the Lord as Abram? Who of us can say that we live a pilgrim's life as he did? That we are as heavenly minded as Abram was? Oh, if Abram's righteousnesses were to him as filthy rags, then what are our righteousnesses? And yet we can go on. And yet we can live as if nothing is wrong. Spared last week. But we do not know what will be this week. And yet so without concern, a testimony of our dead state. A testimony that we are without God in this world. The first object of that saving faith congregation that is not Christ. The first object of saving faith is God. Is God. And what does a man see? He sees that his relation to God is broken. Is broken. Did you ever see it? That is faith. That is faith. When a person is given to see and to believe that he is without God in this world, and that relation is broken. That is faith of a saving nature also. Not that a person in that faith enjoys the comforts of salvation, no. But it is the beginning of that faith which is going to drive a person out in order that he may receive that which Abram had received. Oh, ask the Lord for this faith. That faith of Abram. Then we become a student of the school of the Holy Spirit. And then he teaches to us what our righteousness is. And our need for another righteousness. The same as Abram felt and could not do without in his life. That drove him to that throne of grace. People of the Lord. The Lord called Abram. And the Lord also gave him a promise. Is that so in your life too? How do you live under it? How often is that true church of God not just settled on its lees that it can go through this world without even concern about the fulfillment of that which the Lord has spoken? Is there work? Is there work with that which the Lord has spoken? We read about the Lord appearing unto Gideon. And the Lord said to Gideon, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And immediately, Gideon had a question for the Lord. Said, Lord, how can that be? If the Lord is with us, why then have all these things come upon us? Thus, there was a burden. There was a burden that was lying in that heart of Gideon. And we read the same here about Abram. The Lord said, Abram, do not fear. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And then immediately, Abram had a question. Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Then Abram lived his life with this burden. Now, people of the Lord, if the Lord would come today, if the Lord would come in this moment, or would you also have such a question ready? Do you also live with a burden? Gideon's question and Abram's question, that did not come out of mere unbelief. No. Or they believed what the Lord had spoken. What was their difficulty? They couldn't see how that it was possible that the Lord should fulfill it, seeing their own condition, seeing all the circumstances, seeing their own poverty. That is why they had a question. That true faith in exercise, that is actively hoping and expecting the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. It is living out of it. It is hoping. But then, how often does it not try to reason out the fulfillment? And when it tries to reason out the fulfillment, it comes into such a quagmire. What did the Lord do? Did the Lord say now to Abram, this is how I am going to fulfill it? No, the Lord did not. No, the Lord said to the Lord in the first place, withheld the fulfillment. And the Lord reaffirmed what his promise was. And the Lord gave him another sign. And then the Lord gave him room. Room to exercise true and living faith. To rest upon that word of the Lord. Because he is faithful. Oh, may the Lord give to his church work in that inner chamber, that that soul may be driven out with all its perplexities, with all its fears, with all its impossibilities, with all its mountains unto him. That he may give a little of that faith in through exercise. And then despite all their poverty, then the church may believe in the Lord. And the Lord will also impute it unto them for righteousness. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, or we cannot do without that righteousness from thy only begotten Son. But we do not feel it. We have so little impression of it unless thou wilt bring it in our hearts for the first time or by renewal. Lord, remember us, oh, that this little history, that this word concerning thy servant also may go with us when we go out of thy house in this morning, because there is not one of us for whom it does not apply, young and old. Oh, give us then to meditate thereon, that also the callings, along with thy word, may be sanctified to our hearts. Wilt thou forgive our many sins? Bring us with desire together in this afternoon hour. Be with us with thy spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste. An exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 164.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.